silence God's people. That's what Pharaoh wanted to do. Silence God's people. In 3,500 years, that's not changed. Have you noticed how even today, men and women want to silence God's people? We're happy for you to talk about religion, but don't mention the Bible. We're happy for you to talk about religion, but don't talk about sin. We're happy for you to talk about religion, but don't talk about Jesus. We're happy for you to talk about religion, but don't say that I need to be born again. We're happy for you to talk about religion, but keep it to yourself. We're happy for you to talk about religion, but actually, we'd prefer if you didn't say anything at all. And whenever a Christian does speak up, the world wants to shout him down. Silence God's people. We don't have an ear for this kind of thing. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And 3,500 years ago, that was Pharaoh's heart. When Moses and Aaron walked into his court and spoke. He didn't want to know. And of course, as we saw in the story, if you weren't already familiar with this part of God's word, you'll have seen how Pharaoh's response was to try and beat the people down. Let's beat them into silence. Let's just make them work harder. Let's let them know who's boss. Let's let the people of God know who they're up against. And let's just quell all that's being said. And let's just shut them up. And let's do it by just coming down on them like the ton of bricks we're asking them to make in a day without straw. Silence God's people. Well, what I want to do this morning is just show you that this isn't anything new. In the sense that it's not new for us today. This generation in which we live, this generation in which we have to live as Christians who want to silence anything that we ever try to say about God or the truths of God's word or about Christ and God's salvation, this generation that just wants to shout us down and tell us to keep quiet, keep it to yourself, go away, that is nothing new. The world has always wanted to silence God's people. And we can learn from this portion of God's word some really helpful lessons that will help us as the Lord's people today to deal and cope with the kind of opposition that the world will always, has always thrown against the Lord's people. And some really practical things that we can learn and bear in mind. You see, it's true, isn't it, that God has actually told the people what they can expect. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what will happen. Moses, go and speak to Pharaoh. What will he do? He will harden his heart against you. But he will let the people go. And yet, the people of Israel had such a difficulty with the practicalities of what actually happened. And for us, we turn to our New Testament and we find a very similar thing. The Lord Jesus himself, reinforced by his apostles, says, look, you need to go. There's a message to proclaim. But the world will often harden its heart against you. We've seen in the Beatitudes in our studies in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 5, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because it was expected. It'll be tough. It'll be hard work. There'll be all kinds of difficulties and disappointments in the Lord's work. And we're told to expect it. And yet when it happens, too easily, we behave just like the children of Israel behaved, or were tempted to. So what can we learn from some of the features of this story that's before us in the Word of God? Everything that's in this book is for our good. Everything that's in this book has something to say to our day and to our situation and to our time. Everything in this book is for our instruction and for our encouragement and for our correction. So what can we glean from this passage? Well, let's have a look. And I want to do it by breaking it down into two sections. First of all, I want us to consider Pharaoh. And secondly, I want us to consider God's people and the way that they react to the situation that they're in. And I've got 4 points for each one. So quite a few points. Each one will be fairly brief. And then I just want to end with a little illustration from recent history. Well, let's consider Pharaoh. What is the nature of those who try to shout down the Lord's people? Why is it that they want to silence us? What is it about them that we can learn from this man? Because he is very typical. Well, the first thing we see about Pharaoh is that he has no fear of God. He has no fear of God. Look at verse 2. Who is the Lord? Who is he? He isn't the least bit troubled or perturbed when Moses and Aaron mention the name of God. Who's God? Now that's precisely the reaction that we can expect to hear from so many people today. Who's God? Who is he? People have no fear of him at all. Such is the nature of the human heart. Here we see just how sin has made us to be depraved. No fear of God. Who is he? Why should I pay any attention to anything that God has to say? And to us who are Christians, well, it grieves us to hear people talking about that. It doesn't grieve us anything like as much as it grieves God himself to hear people talking about that. But it shouldn't surprise us when we hear people like this. Because it's the nature of a sinful heart. Maybe actually you're a bit like Pharaoh this morning. What on earth has God got to do with anything? Why should I consider him in my life? Why mention God? Why bring God into the equation at all? What's he got to do with me or my situation or my circumstances? No fear of God. We need to understand as Christian people that that is the nature of the world in which we live. We need to remember that as Christians, all of us can actually look back to a time, and that was me. And that was you. No fear of God. No fear of judgment. No fear that your sin is causing God any offence whatsoever. And that's the nation in which we live. And so we listen to our politicians. We listen to some of the columnists in our newspapers and the pundits on our TVs and on our radios. We listen to some of the so-called experts. No fear of God. Some of you will have seen occasionally on programs like Question Time. It only needs someone to even hint at anything that has something to do with the Bible, and instantly people's hackles are raised against it. Don't you bring that in here. No fear of God. It's the world in which we live. The people that you rub shoulders with at work or at uni or at school, this is the nature of their heart, you see. No fear of God. As we remembered last week, we need to pray, because God nevertheless can change hard hearts. But that's the nature of people. No fear of God. We see that in Pharaoh. What's the second thing we see? Well, we see Pharaoh's response is increased oppression. We see that all through the chapter, don't we? Increased oppression. Make it harder. Make it more difficult. Let's just see what we can do to silence them by just adding oppression upon oppression. They're already under hard labour. It's already a hard regime. So Pharaoh almost makes it impossible for them. Don't provide them with the basic raw ingredients that they're in need of. Straw and mud. Well, the mud's in plentiful supply. But the straw, well, of course, that has to be grown and cut and brought in. The nation of Israel are in this one little area in Egypt. It's a good place. But they don't have enough straw just in that one location. It has to be brought in from all around. And as we saw in the story, Pharaoh says, let them get their own straw. And we see there that instead of being confined to this one little region of Egypt, they have to go around the whole country. Whole task force forces have to be dispatched to go and find straw. And of course that means there's even less people to build to make the bricks. And they don't have the straw to make the bricks. And so the situation is made almost impossible for them. And Pharaoh knows it. Let's back them into a corner so tight that they really can't get out of it. And that's how the world will often react against Christians, you know. And we see it all the time. How many things have we seen on our news screens and news headlines in recent years where Christians are being put in almost impossible situations? Whether it's in their place of work, and primarily it is in their place of work. Let's just make it so difficult for them that it becomes impossible. We shouldn't be surprised when these things happen, because that is the way the world militates against the Lord's people so often. Our circumstances today are very different. But so many Christians today, in wanting to live for Christ in their place of work, find that they are oppressed. And of course, individuals oppress us, don't they, as well? Some of you have known what it is for unbelievers to almost kind of gang up against you and to bring ridicule. And if it was only for one day, well, you could put up with it. If it was only for a week, well, it might be bearable. But when it becomes incessant, day after day after day after day, the people I'm amongst constantly having a go at me because I'm Christ's. You can end up feeling like the children of Israel felt. It's constant oppression of the Lord's people. This is how the world reacts against us so very often. Blessed are you when they persecute you for my sake and for righteousness' sake, says Jesus. And I don't think he was anticipating that it might happen once every 4 years. Jesus knew that some of the Lord's people would find themselves in situations where it just goes on and on and on and on. A few of us recently have been talking about Richard Wurmbrand in Holiday Bible Club. We introduced the older children to the story of Richard Wurmbrand, a church pastor during communism who was horrifically treated simply for being Christ's and simply for wanting to be the kind of pastor that he should be. And he wasn't just taken somewhere and roughed up a little bit and let go. It was incessant, on and on and on. Hardly a bone, literally, hardly a bone in his body that wasn't broken. People, the Lord's people have had this kind of oppression. That's the world we live in. Silence God's people, says the world. There's another thing that we see that Pharaoh does, and this is typical of how the world reacts against us. Look at verse 9. Let them not regard false words. What's Pharaoh doing? Pharaoh is rejecting truth. This isn't the truth. You people are deluded. You're crazy people. You're listening to Moses and Aaron? Don't listen to them. They're just making things more difficult for you. This is ridiculous, the things they're saying. Reject the truth. And today, that's one of the things that's happening against the Lord's people. The truth that we proclaim is being rejected. Now, one of the most obvious things is things like creation, as we've been remembering with the children at the start of our new series. That's a very obvious one. It's in the press a lot. No, that's not the truth. Listen to this instead. And a lot is said about evolution in our schools. I actually think the BBC is far more serious a problem than any of our schools are. You'll hear an awful lot more from the BBC about evolution than you will in any school classroom. An awful lot more. The BBC has two new series starting up at the moment. One's about dinosaurs, and one is about the evolution of man. They'll be on your screens very shortly. And it's incessant from organisations like the BBC. They're pumping it out regularly. Don't listen to false words they're saying to Christian people. Reject the truth. And that's the way of the world. Don't listen to them. These men who stand and teach creation, they're crazy people, says the world. Silence God's people. That's the world we live in. And so many other things as well. Things that Christians stand up for. All kinds of injustices, all kinds of wrongs, all kinds of evils. That's the world's response. You're speaking nonsense. You're speaking falsehood. Fourth thing from Pharaoh. He rejects truth. And then in verse 17, he rejects religion. Your idol, therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. This is just an excuse, he's saying, to get out of work. He rejects their religion. He just pours scorn on the notion of worshipping God. It's just an excuse. You're just deluded. You just want a few days off work. And he rejects the whole concept of religion, which of course is crazy because Pharaoh himself was an immensely religious man. It was all false religion, of course, but he was immensely religious. He himself was believed to be a deity. But he pours scorn on religion. And of course, that's what the world will do today. But we need to understand, don't we, that people in the world actually all follow their own faith. Because everyone believes something. Evolutionists, for example, operate on the basis of unbelievable faith. Because if evolution is true, actually you need more faith to believe evolution than you do to believe creation. And they all operate on the basis of their own beliefs and their own faith. Your faith in the living God? Nonsense. My faith is in science. Your faith in what God has revealed to be true? Nonsense. My faith is what I will find and discover for myself. Your faith in absolute truth and absolute right and wrong? Nonsense. My faith is that I can discover for myself what is true and what is right and what is wrong. And I'll live my life this way. And of course, they fail to realize that actually it is still a life of faith that they're living. But it's faith in themselves. And it's faith in what they think is right in their own eyes. And that's what they base their life upon. They live their life according to that. But they say, I'm ridiculous for living my life according to this. Religion is rejected. But actually, we all need to believe in something. And Pharaoh reveals his hard heart. He reveals the nature of that hard heart that God has spoken about. He has no fear of God. He oppresses the Lord's people. He rejects the truth. And he rejects religion. Christian friends, that's the world we live in. That's what people do. And you and I are going to face that every single day. And the answer is not to moan about it. Because that is the way it is. Well, what is the answer? Well, we can learn a few things from how the Lord's people are involved in this story. So let's look at them in the second half. The first thing I want to point out is in verse 15 about the Lord's people. The officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh. That's not a brilliant idea. We'll come to that in a moment. Why are you dealing thus with your servants? Now, what's the problem with the children of Israel? The problem with the children of Israel is they cannot accept what God has said. God has said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. But they cannot accept it. God has said very clearly, things are going to get tougher before you experience my salvation. But they will not accept it. And they moan and they grumble. So, what will we do when things get hard? What will we do when things get tough? Will we moan? And will we grumble? Or will we turn to God's word, rest on his promises, believe that he's in control, know that he is sovereign, know that his promises are true, and persevere through? That's what Christ did. It's what so many of the Lord's people have done. It's the only way to respond. Just to rest in the Lord and persevere through. Not to do what the children of Israel did and run to Pharaoh moaning, why is this happening? No Christian man or woman should ever say, why is this happening? In the way that they were saying it. Now, there is a way in which you can go to God and pour out your heart to him and say, Lord, why is this happening? But it's done in such a way that you're pleading with God that he would make himself known to you, that he would enable you to understand. And it's done in a way that you're drawing close to the Lord rather than moaning against him. Lord, why is this happening? But to go to Pharaoh and just say, why are you doing this? There's a very big difference, isn't there? Just to go and moan to Pharaoh. Well, we need to decide how we're going to respond. It's not like the people do. Why are you treating us like this? It's not fair. The other thing that we see is in verse 14. And it's that some of the Lord's people come off worse than others. The Lord hasn't called all of us to be a Richard Wurmbrand, but he did call Richard Wurmbrand to be Richard Wurmbrand. And that man was filled with such grace and humility. He didn't look around the rest of the free Christian world moaning about his lot. He didn't go moaning to the Lord, "Why have you chosen to treat me like this when there are countless millions of Christians enjoying freedoms and liberties that I will never know?" He didn't behave like that. The Apostle Paul said we're to count it a privilege to take on some of the sufferings of Christ. I wonder if we do. In all the difficulties that we'll have, in all the disappointments that we'll experience as Christian believers, let's think of what the Apostle Paul said. It is a privilege to take on a little bit of the suffering that Christ endured. What a privilege to suffer for him. And as Christian people, we need to recognize that there are those believers around the world who suffer in ways that at the moment the Lord is not bringing upon us. We know all around the world right now there are Christian believers who, in terms of worldly things, are much worse off than we are in the way that they're being treated, the conditions that they have to live in, the persecution that they're enduring. We must pray for them, we must remember them, and we must determine that we will use the liberties that we have, that they don't have, for the Lord. Because some believers come off worse than others. The third thing, I want to go back to verse 15. The children of Israel cry out to Pharaoh instead of crying out to God. Why go moaning to Pharaoh? What is he going to do? Here's a man who God has said will harden his heart against them. Why go to him? What on earth do they hope to achieve in running to someone like Pharaoh and moaning? Why do they not cry out to the Lord instead? This is an interesting one, because very often we will be encouraged as Christians to make representation to people in authority. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes it's very right to do that, but that also there's occasions when it's a complete waste of time and it's the last thing we should think about doing. There are often occasions when Christians will arrange some kind of protest, and it's a protest against some authority. It might be the government, it might be a local council, and basically they're doing what the people did here, in a way, in that they're taking their complaint to this figure of authority and making a moan. You know, why are you treating us like this? I want to suggest that that's not always the way that Christians should respond. And in fact, they'd be much better off spending their time in prayer and bringing it all before the Lord. Some people quote the Apostle Paul, and they say, yes, but remember what Paul did towards the end of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul went before authorities, and he stated his case before governors, and eventually he went to Rome, and he was going to appeal to Caesar himself. Now, surely that gives us the biblical mandate to take our complaint to authorities and those in leadership over us. Well, in a way it does, but you need to remember that when Paul did that, he did so because he was being treated illegally. And people were acting unlawfully against him. There were many, many, many occasions when the Apostle Paul received all kinds of harsh treatment, and he never raised a finger against anyone. He never moaned about it, he never complained about it, he just got on with gospel work. There's that list at the end of 2 Corinthians. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead, he was stoned, he was this, he was that, he was that, he was that. And on nearly all of those occasions, he didn't write to his local MP and make a complaint. He just got on with gospel work. This is what happens to Christians. It's tough. People hate us. They persecute us. But I'm going to get on with it. But he did on one occasion, because people were using the law unlawfully against him. He said, right, look, if that's the line you're taking, if you must deal with me according to the law, at least do it lawfully. At least treat me like the Roman citizen that I am. If you want to use the law, do it properly. Let me go to Rome. Let me speak to Caesar. Treat me as I should be treated if you want to use the law against me. We clearly need a lot of discernment in these kinds of areas. But I want to suggest to you that the reaction of the Lord's people every single time someone does something against us isn't to go to them and moan about it. There will be occasions when we should use the means of the law to deal with unlawful acts against the Lord's people. That largely is the work of the Christian Institute. That's why we support them the way we do. The Lord's people are being dealt with in an unlawful way. The law's being misinterpreted and misapplied against the Lord's people. And so they take up their cause and take up their case and fight for them. Let's be careful when we cry out, who we cry out to, and what the nature of our heart really is. There will be occasions when it's right to make a protest and have a voice, but not always. Because so often in the Bible, we see the Lord's people and they're simply understanding this is the way the world behaves against us. And I'll put up with it for Christ's sake. It's a challenge. It really is. And then the final thing, just in closing, in verse 21. Of course, in the end, because they don't seem to be getting anywhere, they blame their leaders. Everyone blames the leader. In every walk of life, blame the leaders. They meet Moses and Aaron. Now, it's all your fault. If you'd never come, if you'd never said anything, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. It was bad, but now it's even worse. Blame the leaders. Well, sometimes leaders are deserving of blame. And sometimes leaders have to stand up and say, yeah, we got that wrong. And that can be true in church life, of course. But it's all too easy for people in any walk of life to just blame the leaders. Here are the Lord's people under great oppression, and the world just wants to silence them. Moses and Aaron have come, they're doing the Lord's work, they're doing it the Lord's way, they're being faithful and obedient to what God has said, and it's causing great hardship and causing great difficulty. And the people just want to blame them. Well, we all need to be careful, don't we? Because it's easy just to blame someone. That's the way the world behaves. We just blame someone. It's their fault. Kick them out. Whenever anything goes wrong in the world, someone's always got to be blamed. Someone's always got to resign. That's the way the world handles things. Blame them. Kick them out. The Lord's people need to be different to that. We need to see the Lord's hand in the things that happen to us. We need to understand what it is the Bible says we can expect in this world. We need to understand together that sometimes as a church, whether it's just as a local church in a certain situation or whether it's the national church across the country, whatever it is, we're going to have all kinds of hardships and difficulties. The world is going to say, shut up, sit down, keep it to yourself. silence God's people. Well, we can learn a lot from God's word as to how that might look and how it will feel. And we can learn good ways to respond. We can learn bad ways to respond. But we look to the Lord in all of this. One final little illustration. Many of you will have heard of Hudson Taylor. He was called by the Lord to mission work in the 19th century, and he went to evangelize China. Like many missionaries, he set sail from this very port of Liverpool. And off he went. And he suffered unbelievable deprivation and loss. Family members, loved ones died. And yet God used that man. On one occasion, he was going through a very long and a very serious illness. And Hudson Taylor, in the midst of that long illness, at a time when it feared like nothing was going right, at a time when he feared like he wasn't making any progress at all, this is what he said. I believe that God has enabled me to do more for China during this long illness than I might have done had I been well. And the great legacy of Hudson Taylor continues in China to this day. There are millions and millions of believers in China because that man endured great hardship, great deprivation. It seemed at times to him as if the whole of China was against him. Silence the Lord's people. But he endured. And we must endure. The Lord will sometimes call us to suffer for Christ's sake. And we can learn a lot from the Lord's people how that's to be done. The world is against us, but God is for us. The world wants us to be quiet, but Christ says, go into the world and tell everyone. The world says, keep it to yourself. The Bible says, share it with all. The world says, let's make it hard for them, and then they'll all go away. Jesus says, you're blessed when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, let's all look to him. And when the world wants to silence his people, let's remember how we should respond.